Hey guys, Sensi Star Jones here with the Keep Aloud Crew podcast. Join us each and every Sunday as we bring to you live church service from the St. John's Episcopal Church, USVI. Let's tune in and hear what Pastor Gibson has to say. Do remember, follow us on IG, Twitter, and also join us on Roku.
Welcome to St. John's Episcopal Church in the Diocese of the Virgin Islands. We are on the big island of St. Croix in the beautiful Paradise Islands of the Virgin Islands. Today, I encourage you to join us at 8:30 a.m. Please come on board and join us with Keep It Cloud crew as they expand our ministry at St. John's to the a little wider community throughout the world. So we are on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and then on Wednesdays at 12:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we encourage you to join us in serving the community, not only for St. Croix, but throughout the world.
Welcome to St. John's Episcopal Church Hour. We are pleased that you have tuned into our broadcast and invite you to listen each Sunday at this time to worship with us. We are located at number 27 King Street, Christian Steps, St. Croix. Please call us at 340-778-8221 or email us at stjecstx@vipowernet.net. You can also hear this broadcast at our Facebook page at St. John's Episcopal Church, VI. We trust that today's service will be a blessing to you.
Grace to you and in peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord God, as we come to you this morning, in acknowledging your Son Jesus Christ, as we proclaim him by our works, let us follow him in our words. Give us strength to take up the cross and the courage to lose our lives for his sake. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Very blessed 16th Sunday after Pentecost to you as we celebrate today the memory of Reverend Alexander Crummell, as we worship in St. John's Episcopal Church. And for those of you viewing at home on our Facebook page, we are happy that you are able to worship with us this morning. The readings for today are taken from Proper 19b. And yes, we are in the Virgin Islands. We invite you to join us on Tuesday, September the 14th in the Mary Chapel, as we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Cross at noontime. And again, next Sunday, September the 19th, as we celebrate the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And you could prepare yourselves by reading the propers for 20b. At this time, I invite us to say our mission statement. Together, as disciples of God, we at St. John's Episcopal Church are called to restore all people in unity through Christ, embracing justice, peace, and love. Our act of worship continues as we sing the hymn number 162, The Royal Banners Forward Go. Shines for redemption's flow.
Christ was made our ransom. She was made for living. In sharp of it, in song of old, the nation's king should be. Its crimson bow proclaims the King of glory now. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, and all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your Christ, Holy Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, We thank you for your servant, Alexander Cromwell, whom you called to teach the gospel to those who are far off and to those who are near. Raise up in this and every land evangelists and heralds of your kingdom, that your church may proclaim the unsearchable riches of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, was lifted upon the cross that he might draw the whole world to himself, mercifully grant that we, who glory in the mystery of our redemption, may have grace to take up our cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. God Almighty, I ask your blessings upon those who would read it to us the scriptures. May the words of their mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Please be seated for the ministry of the word.
A reading from the word of God written in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom cries out in the street. In the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
The response is Psalm 19, found in the Book of Common Prayer on page 606. Declare the glory of God, and in the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells a tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to gone out into all lands. for the sun. He comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives witness to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter than honey, than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. And he can tell how often he offends. Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumption sin. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
A reading from the Word of God, written in the letter of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also is the tongue, is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. The town is a fire. The town is placed among our members as a whirl of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tanned and can be tamed, and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the town. It rests a restless evil, fully of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same tongue come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No, can salt water yield fresh. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Our gradual hymn is hymn number 675 from our hymnal, Take Up Your Cross, the Savior Said. Please stand.
Chapter beginning at the 27th verse. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and 3 days after rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind Satan, for you are setting in your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called a crowd of his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of the words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the angels." Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. We pray to you, Lord God, for your wisdom, that from the street corners and at the entrances of the city, you proclaim the way of life and death. Grant us the wisdom to recognize your Son as our Messiah, that following the way of the cross, we may know it to be the way of life and glory. We pray this as we take up our cross to follow you. Amen. Please be seated. Teaching about the following the way of the cross seems to fit in very well with the context that we were looking at this morning. And we remember that Jesus has just taught about the necessity of his own suffering and death, and now he teaches that his own followers must suffer and lose their life in order to find it. The final sentence makes us think twice. When he returns in glory, he will be ashamed of those who are ashamed of him and of his words. There are so many things about Christian life, faith, and history that make us uncomfortable, if not outright ashamed of. Together, these three sentences could seem like two body blows if we are amateur in a boxing ring with a professional. And it comes across sometimes as a knockout punch. Jesus rebuked Peter. Something worse than that could be perhaps beheaded or with. And we are told that Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "If you want to be my followers, you must deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me." By the way, this teaching about the inevitability of the cross is also for us, not only Jesus' disciples. For Jesus wanted the crowds to know the high cost of discipleship. And we know what it means to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow Christ. And so for us who've gathered here this morning, and all of those who are listening or are watching, this verse needs to be memorized. But before we get that, we hear Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Here Jesus addresses the question of his first followers, and it is being addressed to us today as well. Like the disciples, we might come up with a variety of answers. But even if we, along with Peter, speak of Jesus as Messiah and Savior, our response is the beginning and the end of a theological, spiritual, and ethical journey. It's a journey guided by questions such as, is our image of Jesus, our Savior, one of someone who sanctions our ideas and of power and prestige? Or does it invite us to consider the cost of discipleship and redefine the nature of power and the relationships in our personal, congregational, and political lives? What we hear in the text, for those who want to save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the angels. He went on to say, truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God has come with power. And the one that perhaps we struggle with, if any would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so it begs the question to us who are gathered here this morning. What does it mean to deny oneself? To deny oneself is to love the Lord God more than a father and a mother, sister, and possessions. That is, we are to deny ourselves in that we are to love God more than an earthly relationships and earthly possessions, which are both transitory. To deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus is saying to us this morning. He's calling us to deny where we are, to deny who we are, whose we are, and to take up our and to. Some people never discover what it means to deny themselves. And we are reminded of the worldly and successful things in a particular song which says, "Stop the world, I want to get off." Where the writer sings after he loses his wife and her love. And he goes on to talk about, what kind of fool am I? What do I know of love? Am I the only one that I've been thinking of? What kind of man is this? An empty shell. An empty shell is no longer heart that can dwell. Little Pip had never learned to love. He never learned to deny himself and to take up the cross of his wife. And so what does it profit a person if that person is erroneously successful and has not learned to love as Christ loves? What good is it to have all the stuff in the world, all the material possessions, all the education, all the success, and cannot deny Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and to take up our cross and to follow him? And as we alluded to last week, all of it is just vanity. William Barclay, in his commentary, describes what it means to deny self. And he writes, and I quote, "We will understand the meaning of this demand the best if we take it very simply and literally. Let him say no to himself. If a man would follow Jesus, he must say no to himself and yes to Jesus. He must say no to his own natural love of ease and comfort. He must say no to every course of action based on self-seeking and self-will. He must say no to the instincts and desires which prompt him to touch and taste the handle forbidden things. He must unhastily say yes to the voice of that commands of Jesus Christ. He must be able to say yes with Paul that it is no longer he who lives, but Christ who lives in him. He must no longer want to follow his own will, but to follow the will of our Messiah. And in following him, he finds his perfect freedom." Today, as we reflect on the life and the witness of Reverend Alexander Crummell, a black priest who was treated shamefully in the Episcopal Church in the early days, and who did not allow himself to be denied taking up the cross of Jesus and spreading in the gospel to others in a land where they did not know Jesus. Where do we find ourselves today? Do we look at this example today across the Episcopal Church? The church is celebrating Alexander Crummell Sunday. Actually, it would have been celebrated on Friday, but the black Episcopalians have the permission to celebrate it always on this Sunday. How many of us are willing to follow this example? That when we are rejected by a particular institution, that the institution is going to come and go, and people are going to come and go. But when we take up the cross, we deny ourselves and follow, we take a new disposition. Here we see the spiritual practices which undergirded social action in Crummell's life has given those who supported him a sense of denying and taking up. Accordingly, a church community for the past 261 years, how many of us were really willing to deny ourselves and to take up cross and to follow Jesus? Today we exist in a very social world, and that many congregations are very socially active. But they must become more spiritual by turning some of their social activities into spiritual practices, which, my sisters and brothers, are essential to our mission. Guess what? We too, in this part of God's vineyard, has fallen into the social garden because of the trends of this postmodern era in a world which is forced to act differently. But let me reassure you that there is no distinction between prayer and protest, between spirituality and social concern. Rather, contemplation deepens our spirits and broadens our sensitivities. For action and the pain expands the scope of our spiritual sensitivity, meaning that we must enact better opportunities for our citizens so that others can see the Christ in us as we carry the cross, denying the actions that foster negativity. One more time. Let me reassure you that God can enlarge in our hearts to see God's presence in every human and all creation and to respond with grace and compassion. To be able to deny oneself and to take up the cross of Christ in this community and to make a difference. When the question of denying oneself was once asked to some, they responded by saying, to deny self means to put aside those parts of our lives which are sinful and turn to Jesus. To deny self means to be convicted of my own sin that I am not living a worthy life. To deny self means to deny my old life of sin. To deny self for some meant to daily drown their own daily needs and to put other people's need before their own. And others say to deny self means to acknowledge our own sinfulness. To deny self means to deny overeating, over drinking, over working, over shopping, over talking about other people. To deny self means to pray for others' needs ahead of our own. To deny self means to give up a plan of pleasure without being a martyr. To deny self means the consequence of joy. Jesus, others, yourself. To deny self means to deny the pleasures and plans a person had for one's life. While God places a person in need in front of you, take, for example, the aging in our community. How many of us are willing to prepare a meal and to go and to help cut the yard of an aged person? Yes, we know that some of them, because of the dementia that they may be going through, behave erratic at times. How about caring for a person who is suffering as a result of substance abuse? To deny self means to, as we look at the frustration and the tensions in trying to balance the need to care for an aging parent and the needs to care for the nuclear family or the people, other people that we love. To deny self means to give up our personal wants for the greater needs of others. To deny self means to accommodate your lifestyle for the sake of the family. To put the needs of others first. To deny self means to care for people whom God has placed on our doorsteps. To deny self means to seek God's will, to lead others to God, and daily submit to God's will. To deny self means to face activities we would otherwise not choose. Activities that would yield greater spiritual rewards. To deny self means to be perhaps like Mother Teresa in her selflessness. To deny ourselves means to be able to control our tongues. And speaking about controlling the tongue, if we briefly look at James' writing on practical Christianity, because this is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. If you really want to follow me and you want to take up your cross and come with me, it is about practical Christianity. You see, James was inviting the church to live and love the commandment of Jesus. That if you love your neighbor as yourself, going back to Leviticus chapter 19, that is what it is all about. Five simple words. And it calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And James calls this the law. Not just the law, but the perfect law. The royal law. And James, being the brother of Jesus, the leader of the church, the early church in Jerusalem, drew out the practical implications of this royal law. And he addressed the question, what does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? As James addressed the congregation that it was having problems in trying to live out the moral law to love one another, he listed three problems. What does it mean to your neighbor as to love your neighbor as yourself, and to do not care for, if you're not caring for example for the orphans or for widows. For at the time the Christians were neglecting the widows and the orphans, and they did not care for them as Jesus has instructed. And we'll find as we read the same problem going on in the book of Acts. That is, people were not taking care of the homeless. And the people who were in community, there are people who are hurting. While I was away, I heard that one young man who walks up and down the street, and because he has a weakness because of drug addiction, his life was impacted. How can we in a community allow and something like this to happen and to be happy sitting here this morning? How are we reaching out to those in need? Yet, we say that we love God, but we cannot find it in our heart to love our neighbor. We tell Jesus, yes, I'm going to go and look for one made of paper. Secondly, in James, the people were trying to live out the moral law of loving your neighbor. In the first congregations, they were showing favoritism to the rich people who were coming to the church. And remember from last week, we would hear about, you know, people will have faith, but they wouldn't have works. And James was suggesting that the two must go together. We can't say that we want to take up our cross and follow Jesus, and when it's placed on our backs, we run away and leave it. And thirdly, in his congregation, that as the people were called to live out the perfect law, the royal law, the law of love, that some people had a problem with their tongue. As we read that, we could control a huge ship, or we can control a horse. But it's very difficult to control the tongue. If we do not allow our tongue, we are not going to be able to take up the cross and follow Jesus. To deny oneself means to go the extra mile beyond and just looking at ourselves in the mirror, but taking up the cross of Jesus. It means, as Luke would say in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, if you want to become my followers, deny yourselves and take up your cross, and daily, not only on Sundays, but daily, and follow me. Let me reassure you this morning that each one of us have different crosses to bear during our life. Our cross may be a health concern. Our cross may be a financial concern. Our cross may be a relational concern. But whatever our cross may be, we are called to carry it. And sometimes our crosses are more painful than the other cross that someone else has to carry. Sometimes the cross may be trivial to us, but it may be detrimental to someone else. But nonetheless, all of us are called to bear our crosses. To take up our cross daily means to take up the burdens of another. To take up our cross means to pick up the burden once have and to deal with the devastating situation. Take up our cross daily is carrying my brother or my sister on my back, on your back, because that sister or brother cannot be too heavy. To take up our cross daily means to be open and flexible to God's plan for our lives. To take up our cross daily means to follow Jesus in reading in the scriptures, in praying, in meditating, and inviting us to do the like. In taking up our cross daily means at times, yes, we will fail, but because of the word of God is powerful, it encourages the next day to take up the cross and to go on. As we reflect on the royal law, the perfect law, to deny cross means that we are called to love everyone every day. Yes, there are some people at times that would stick us and make us upset or angry, but we are still called to love them. Take up our cross daily means to have grace under pressure. To take up our cross daily means going beyond the mark that we are comfortable with. To take up our cross means that we are called to work among heathens, atheists. To take up our cross means to work on our relationships with our family and the people we do not like. Take up our cross daily means to go against what the culture or society of the day says it is, when we know that it is not. To take up our cross daily means to make a wise decision about taking the COVID-19 vaccine. To take up our cross daily means to love one another. To follow Christ is to love, to believe in Him, in loving others, as we love ourselves, as we love Jesus, as we love God. We're taking up our cross daily and denying himself is to make a bold statement about God. Let us today, as we boldly claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as we go out in the community, let us make that bold statement in denying ourselves, loving God, and taking up our cross and following him. I invite us now to stand as we reaffirm our faith in the Nicene Creed. And for those of you at home in the Book of Common Prayer on page 358, together we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. The only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one and being with the Father, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
In our prayers this morning, we pray to you, gracious God, who have saved us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and you call us to take up our cross and to follow him. Fill us with faith and courage to confront the world's injustice and to carry your abundant love to all the world. We pray you, Lord God, this morning, and incline our ears as we call upon you, saying, gracious are you and just. O God, you are full of compassion. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, today as we continue to observe the season of creation, we pray for the Anglican Church of Tanzania. In the world cycle of prayer, we pray for the people of the Republic of Haiti. And in the ecumenical cycle of prayer, we pray for the members of the Russian Greek Catholic Church. Today, we also remember those who were lost or wounded or impacted in any way during the 9/11 attack on the U.S. of A, and indeed on their families and friends. Sisters and brothers, the service has been long. The sermon has been long. Worship is ended, but now service begins. Go out into the world to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. Let us bless the Lord. Do enjoy your week.
Thank you for listening to the St. John's Episcopal Church Hour. Every Sunday, we get together for worship at 8:30 a.m. Our church is located at number 27 King Street Christian Center, St. Croix. Come visit with us. We welcome you to our services. For more information, call us at 340-778-8221 or email us at stjecstx@vipowernet.net. You can also hear this broadcast at our Facebook page at St. John's Episcopal Church, VI. Have a blessed day.